If you haven't seen these before, our bulletin that you receive when you come in is different than most others. In it are some devotions to help you for through the week ahead. And we're trying to experiment. It's not devotions that follow the sermon, but they're devotions that lead to the next one. And so we called it Preparing the Soil. It just kind of prepares our hearts and our minds for what God will do in and through us next Sunday. And it just helps to prepare our hearts. So if you get that, please take it with you. So it's January 17th. 2 weeks and 3 days into 2010. How are you doing with your New Year's resolutions? Some okay, and some went, oh yeah, I forgot about those. I was supposed to do something, wasn't I? Things that are supposed to change. Have they just fallen off of your radar screen? Have you already given in to temptation? Have you said, man, I got 11 more months to lose those 10 pounds. It'll be fine. Have you lost it with your kids or your spouse and just resigned yourself to, well, that's just me? Have you given up on a goal saying, well, that's just a dream. It'll never really happen. Have you researched that class you were going to take and decided it's too expensive or it's going to take too much time or it's too hard? Have you stopped working for that promotion because you don't know where your company is going and there might not be any promotions, or maybe your boss just doesn't like you? Have you given up on the idea of coaching your kids' team or becoming a scout leader or a youth leader or a Sunday school teacher or a classroom parent because you simply can't find the time? How many of us have done the self-help thing and failed miserably at some point? Every diet and every exercise program and failed. I'm going to get my budget in order and failed. I'm going to make things better in my day-to-day living. I'm going to read my Bible every day and failed. I'm going to pray for 20 minutes every day. And after two, we're like, oh, am I done yet? And failed. How many of us have found ourselves at some point in our lives incredibly disappointed with ourselves? How many of us at some point have found ourselves incredibly disappointed in the fact that we aren't making it any better on ourselves? When I get to those moments, I find some encouragement from the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 7, verses 17 through 24. Paul writes this. He says, I need something more. If I know the law but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. Amen? He continues, it happens to me so regularly, it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? That's the Apostle Paul. And part of me finds encouragement in that because, I mean, Paul is pretty much responsible for Christianity getting outside of Jerusalem and going out to the whole known world. This is Saint Paul. This is a guy who preached all over the globe, who taught people in Greece where the intellectuals were. This is one who we know God laid his hand mightily upon. This is Paul. And he struggled. When he examined his own life, he disappointed himself. And there's a part of me that goes, well, that's good. Me and Paul are in the same boat. And then there's another part of me that says, well, if he struggled, what hope is there for me? to get to a better place. He's disappointed himself, and he asks a desperate question: is there no one who can do anything for me? In the next verse, he gives an answer. The answer, thank God, he says, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. And in my head, I get it. And in my heart, I'm still disappointing myself. And I wonder if I'm disappointing God. Have you ever had that moment? And you think, how many times is God going to let me get away with that? Is he done? Has God given up on me? I'm ready to give up on myself. If I were God, I'd be done with him. Let's work on somebody else. Has God given up on me? This problem goes back to the very beginning of humanity. The struggle is recounted in Genesis 3, part of the creation story. Adam and Eve are placed in this lovely garden, and they have the whole garden for themselves. And God says, I've got one rule. Don't eat from that tree. One tree. There's a whole garden. They have plenty of stuff to eat from, plenty of stuff for them to enjoy. There's wonderful things around for them. There's not a need of theirs that goes unmet. And they cannot doubt that this command comes from God, because it was God himself who told them. Don't eat from that tree. Unfortunately, they're human, and guess what they do? They eat from that one tree. And then they realize what they've done, and they're disappointed. And then we get a verse in Scripture that every time I read it makes me laugh. It says, when they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden in the evening breeze, the man and his wife, Adam and Eve, hid in the trees of the garden. They hid from God. Yeah, good luck with that. We're going to go behind a tree. God can't see me. Really? The all-knowing, all-seeing, ever-present God can't see you. And I laugh at Adam and Eve. And then I go, but I've done that too. When I mess up, I've done the same thing. How many of us don't want to talk to God because we're afraid of what he might say to us? Had that prayer? God, I don't want you to see that part of my life. Let's talk about the good stuff over here. Let's not talk about the difficult stuff. Or maybe it just gets as simple as, God, I'm just not going to talk to you right now. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to do my devotion time. I'm not going to read Scripture because I'm embarrassed. How Paul put it, I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, and then I do it anyway. I mean, we know what Adam and Eve were up against. They panicked. They messed up. Like a kid who's been playing ball in the house and broke mom's vase. What do? Hide the vase and hide the ball. Like, mom won't know. It doesn't work that way. They didn't trust God. I know there are times when I come before God and I don't want to talk about the thoughts that I have that embarrass me, the words that I wish I'd never spoken, the actions I wish I'd never done, the feelings I have that I don't understand. I'm disappointed in myself, and I'm pretty sure God is disappointed in me. And suddenly, it just falls apart. And I think, well, one more resolution ought to do it. One more self-help book, I'll fix it. And then I can go to Jesus and talk to him again. But the answer is more counterintuitive than that. We heard the Apostle Paul in chapter 7 say, something is wrong deep inside of me. And then we flip over to chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. And just listen to these words. He says, so what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he won't gladly and freely do for us? Do you hear that? Look what God's already done for you. You really think he's going to give up and walk away? And then Paul says these, writes these dramatic words. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing, nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, the Master, has embraced us. Nothing can get between you and God's love for you. Nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable. Nothing we've said, nothing we've done, nothing we've thought, no place we've failed. Nothing can get between us and God. God never writes you off. God never says, I'm done with this one. God never just leaves us alone to figure it out for ourselves. God never turns his back on us to leave you stuck behind the tree. No matter where you are or what you've done, who you think you are, you're not far from God. And Paul gives a simple answer. Why? Because Jesus loves you. This is remedial church. This is church 101 today. It really is. But you know what it is? I got it here. It's not easy to get here. I mean, you hear those things, you see the bumper sticker, Jesus loves me, yay. And then you mess up and you're like, really? I'm not so sure he does anymore. I don't know about you, but I've been there. I've had those moments of, man, I've messed this up so bad. Can he still love me? Let me put it even more strong. I've sat with people. I sat with a young man who said, God hates me because I'm gay. And you know what I said to him? No. Jesus loves you. I had a woman in my office who said, God doesn't like me anymore because I terminated a pregnancy when I was 18. And my answer was, no. Jesus loves you. I've had people tell me that God doesn't like them anymore because, you know, they're lost in the bottle or they're lost in the drugs or they're lost in something. And the answer is no. Jesus loves you. He may not like what you're doing, but he loves you. I'm divorced. I've cheated. I'm addicted to porn. I've hurt people I love. I can't get my stuff together. God has separated himself from me. And the answer is no. Jesus loves you. You. I hope this illustration isn't too trite, but this meant a lot to me just a couple of weeks ago. Remember when it was cold? Just a couple of weeks ago, between Christmas and New Year's, it was a Tuesday morning, and I went outside with my dog. We have this morning routine with Emmy. Emmy is my dog, and I have this morning routine with Emmy. That's Emmy. Our routine is simply this. I get up in the morning, I take her out, and tie her to a stake, you know, in a nice way. That sounded bad. Tie her to a stake just off our patio downstairs. And I go in and get her food and I come out and she eats. When she's done eating, she barks. And Emmy and I have this routine down so well that she doesn't bark. She just barks once. It's like, hey, come and get me. That's all I get. And she knows that I'm coming. Well, part of the routine also seems to be is that almost every day I go downstairs to get Emmy after she's eaten and done whatever else she needs to do. And Emmy is on a shorter leash than when I left her. Because we have this elevated deck, and right under the patio are these poles that hold the deck up. And Emmy leaves the house on one side of a pole and comes back the house on the other side of the pole. And the leash is shorter and she can't get back to the door. And this happens, no fooling, 4 or 5 times a week. She's stuck, short leash. That particular day, I had forgotten my slippers. It was freezing cold out, and there she is on the short leash, and I've got to go walk across the patio barefoot. And on my way to her, I say to that blank stare, are you ever going to figure this out? You've got to come back on the same side of the pole. And I get, blank stare and wagging tail. I unhook her, and she bolts in the house. She was cold, too. I get the chain and start coming back into the house. And on the way back into the house, the thought occurs to me, how many times has God been where I was right then with me? Hey, Joe, when are you going to learn? When are you going to come to me sooner? When are you not going to do that again? And me, blank stare, wagging my tail. Thank you, God, for bringing me in the house. And I think, when is God just going to have enough of this? And say, you know what, I'm done. And about that moment, God put another thought in my brain. It was simply this. Where are you, Joe? Standing barefoot in the freezing cold on the patio. Why? Because I got to bring the dog in. And God said, and you don't think I'd do the same for you? Like, there isn't a moment that God's going to just go, hey, poor dog, good luck, figure it out. Tell me when you get back to the door, and I'll let you in. No. I mean, that's not the way God works. I mean, if I care about my dog enough to go get him every single time she does that, how much more does God care about me? Every time I mess up. Every time I find myself in that place of that incredible same old mistake. What is it for you? What is it for you? I mean, what is it that you do that you think God has just given up on you? And what does that hold you back from doing? What does it stop you from trusting God with? Because you're not really sure he's going to follow through, because, man, you're not the person that you want to be, and you're pretty sure that he wants you to be. And so this morning, as we close, we're just going to play some recorded music for a few moments. And I just want you to have a time of quiet. And I invite you in this time to bring that to God. You know that thing that you hide? You know the thing that's in the bush? You know the vase in the closet? You know the time you got tangled up around the pole for the millionth time? I want you to bring that to God. I mean, right here, right now. Because God isn't in the business of just zapping you. But he's in the business of welcoming you in and letting you know just how much he loves you. I invite you to just bring it to God. And as you kneel before him, in your heart or kneel here on the steps, I'm going to open this up for you to come forward if you like. I want you to just hear God whispering one thing in your ear. I will never give up on you. I will never give up on you. I will never give up on you. Let's pray together. We trust you, God. We really do. Sometimes we don't trust ourselves. We're not really proud of the things that we do, say, think. We know the places where we've messed up. We can hide them from other people, but sometimes it scares us just how well you know us. We want to put on a facade for you. We want you to see us as saintly and holy and worthy. We want to hide behind a tree. But you love us as we are. Flaws and all. You may not always like what we're doing, but you love us. Remind us today, oh God. Remind us today that you will never leave us or forsake us. That you never, ever give up on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So before I invite the band up, we're going to just have a few moments. And feel free to come forward and give it all to God.
How many times have I turned away? The number is the same. as the sand on the shore.